Everyone, Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will reconvene. We're on item 11. This is discussion only. This is the 2020 United States Census Bureau update. Sherry Nevin.
Sherry Nevin, for the record again. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years since we did this last. We have today Kimberly Burgess from the United States Census Bureau joining us to give you guys a presentation. She reached out to me, and I was like, wow. 10 years ago, we, you know, already had this process done, and it worked out really, really well. I was super surprised when I wasn't surprised, but I was happily surprised when she told me our response rate from the 2010 census was nearly 80%. So that's no surprise when it comes to how our residents vote and things like that. So I'm going to invite Kim up now to give you guys a short presentation about how important the census is and make sure that we do everything we can to get everyone to properly report.
Great. So,
bless you.
Good afternoon, Kimberly. Thank you for coming up this afternoon.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Burgess with the U.S. Census Bureau. I am a partnership specialist. I reside in Douglas County. I recently moved there over the summer. I was here for work in 2017 for different than the census, but I fell in love with the Northern Nevada area, so now I'm here. And I actually cover all of the state of Nevada with the exception of Clark County at the moment. So currently there are about 6 partnership specialists assigned to Clark County, but then there's me for the rest of the state until they bring on some additional people. So hopefully that will be soon, but in the meantime, I am out and about working in the areas. So I'm just here to talk to you a little bit about the upcoming 2020 census. We're about a little less than a year out from Census Day, which I refer to as the Call to Action Day. Census Day is April 1st, 2020. And recently, the governor signed an executive order on April 1st of this year to form a state complete count committee. I'll get into a little bit more about what the complete count committees are in the presentation. But the goal of the census is to count everybody once, only once, and in the right place. A little bit about what I do, again, is I am in partnership or community engagement, partnership and engagement programs. So I will work with different stakeholders within local and county governments, community, faith-based organizations, et cetera, and identify what some of the challenges may be for the specific areas and communities, because it can be, it varies across the areas, and then help come up with solutions for those challenges to, again, ensure that everybody is counted. So why we take the census, it is mandated under the Constitution. It's been taken every 10 years since 1790. And a couple of big things that comes into play with the data that's captured from the census. So money and power. Money in terms of $675 billion is allocated between the states based on the numbers that are reported from the census data. In addition, the power. So the reapportionment for the seats of the House of Representatives are also determined on that population information. So in 2010, Nevada gained a seat, a congressional seat. And we often reference a study that George Washington University puts together, and it breaks down, it's called Counting for Dollars, it breaks down what each state receives in regards to federal funding based, again, on that census data. So for fiscal year 2016, that's the most recent information, Nevada saw a little over $6.2 billion in federal funding for various programs. One other thing that I'd like to point out is Nevada is the fastest growing state in the nation, and it is not just Clark County. I mean, again, as I said, I recently relocated and moved to the Northern Nevada area, and I can attest that it is indeed growing everywhere. So it is important that we have that accurate count to ensure that the resources are going to then be allocated properly back to our state and then down to our specific communities. So the census is confidential. It is protected under the U.S. Code. Us as employees take an oath of confidentiality from the date that we're sworn in until the time that we leave our appointment as well. We don't share information with other federal agencies or with anybody else. So one of the, a couple of the things that are exciting and different about the 2020 census is that people will have the option to respond online, which has not been an option in the past. So what we're doing now is doing the outreach and the education piece about the importance and that this is an option in hopes that people will self-respond come census day. And then this will sort of reduce the number of enumerators that we have, because oftentimes when we hear of the census, we think the door knockers. So those would be the people who would still go out for those who did not respond. Now, within rural areas, I understand that there are a lot of times people receive their mail P.O. box and not at their physical address. So we are going to be, there are going to be mailers that reference the online, being able to respond online. Those are not going to be delivered to the P.O. boxes, but they will be hand-delivered by a census worker to people's physical address, along with a paper questionnaire. So that will be done. That will be done prior to census day, obviously. Now, as I mentioned, April 1st is the call to action day, but people will be able to start self-responding on March 23rd, 2020, so a week beforehand. And again, they'll have the internet, the phone option, and the paper form as well. So in addition to the online option, we have it available in 13 different languages, which has not been an option in the past as well. So we are able to reach all of the population, the diverse populations. Now, a little bit about, so Sherry had mentioned the low response score is basically the gauge of the likelihood of people to self-respond for a specific census tract or specific area. So the lower the number, the better, because that means that's the percentage of people likely not to respond to the census. This is based on 2010 data and then supplemental data of the American Community Survey, which is taken on a yearly basis in between the decennials. So for Story County, it's just under 17%. So that's saying that just about 17% is likely not to self-respond. So it's over 80% who are going to self-respond based on that, based on previous information or and data points. So I did mention the Complete Count Committee and the state forming theirs. So what we like to do and encourage at the local level is the formation of what we call complete count committees. They're volunteer committees typically made up of the local government, community organizations, faith-based organizations. Again, those that know the community best, know what those challenges are, and can strategize to come up with ways to overcome those. So some of the other counties are all at different stages. So, again, the state has formed their statewide. The governor has asked for $5 million to be included in the state budget for census activities across the state. Washoe County has gone through their complete count committee training and has formed, although they haven't moved. They're going to probably do an event in the summertime. And then I'm just starting to work with Douglas County as well, as they haven't had a county manager. So I'm just starting to work with them. But, again, everybody's at different stages. but we do encourage that. And there's no set number of the amount of people that need to be included in that or should be included in it. I would act as, on behalf of the census, as an advisor to help kind of facilitate bringing those people together and offering the training. So where we are now, again, we're really in that education. We are less than a, and really pushing for the formations of those complete count committees because we are less than a year out. It says on here that we have area census offices opening now. There will not be one for Northern Nevada. There will be two in the South, one in North Las Vegas and one in Las Vegas. We will run our operations out of the North Las Vegas office, but there won't be an actual office in the North like there has been in the past. But even still, there are we are still recruiting for jobs as well on a rolling basis. We just won't have those office-based jobs like they will in the South. And in the summertime is when they will start the address canvassing piece, which is to make sure, you know, verifying all of the addresses are correct and where people live. And then, again, in March is when the people can start self-responding. And I mentioned the jobs piece, so again, that's an ongoing recruitment that we're looking to do. There would be the address canvassing piece, the people, again, to deliver the packages prior to Census Day, and then the enumerators, field representatives, after the fact for those who do not respond. But that is it in regards to my presentation. If you have any questions or comments,
please. We're off to the races. The only question I have for you, Kimberly, is that when the census workers are out, if people haven't self, responded in that, and the census worker knows someone's living there, that are they gonna get counted, even though they don't participate? You know,
I don't believe so.
No.
I know that they make a couple attempts to actually meet with the person to do that verification piece, but I would have to double check on that.
Some people are reluctant to talk to anybody,
yeah,
you know, about, you know, any of the status of, you know, the residents or the,
right,
income or whatever.
So we don't ask the income. We don't ask about income. It's 10 questions, potentially 11 if the citizenship question remains on there. It's still in litigation as far as the status of that, but I know in the past, it's been two options in regards to the census where it's the short form and the long form. We no longer utilize the long form. That's now what the American Community Survey is. And so not everybody, that is done every year, but it's a random sampling of people who received that survey to complete it. Not everybody in the country will receive that like the decennial.
All right. Any other questions? No? Well, gee, Ms. Burgess, thank you for coming up today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Is there an action on this?
Okay. Yeah, it's not an action item. You don't have to. You can if you want to.
Okay, sure. Does anybody have any public comment on this item? It's not an action item, is it? Okay. And we'll go ahead at this time. We're on item 12, so we're going to recess the Story County Board of County Commissioners, and we're going to convene as the Story County Liquor License Board.
Next up. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm going to recuse as I am a principal in the building. I am the lessor for this particular license, so I'm going to join the audience.
Very good. Okay, this is discussion of possible action. The first reading of a liquor and cabaret license for Tommy Knocker's Irish Pub. The applicant is DBM Lloyd. The location business is 20E East Union Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Full disclosure, I too hold a liquor and cabaret license. I'm adjacent to that property. And how I vote on this item would affect that applicant no more than the other applicant I voted for in the past. Sheriff Antonoro.
As indicated, it's first reading of this. We do have a valid lease between the parties, and we've got the initial background checks done, and nothing has arisen so far that would preclude them from holding a liquor license. By the time we come back for the second reading, we should have it completed for you.
Very good. All right. Is there any public comment regarding this hearing? Enough. Got a motion to approve?
Sure. I recommend the approval of the first reading for liquor license and cabaret license for Tommyknocker's Irish Pub. The applicant is Debbie Ann Boyd. Location of the business is on 20 East Union Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
All right. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Very good. Next up is item 14, discussion of possible action. This is the first reading for an off-sale liquor license for the Sugarloaf Motel and Market, 430 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicant is Candace Pitts. Sheriff Antonoro.
Again, first reading. We've got the initial things back. Nothing that would preclude them. The previous owner did have an off-sale license, so be similar, in effect, to what was there prior to this applicant purchasing the property.
All right. Well, I don't have an off-sale liquor license, so I'll leave the disclosure there. Do you think?
I think you're okay.
Okay.
Do you have I am too.
Do you have an off-sale liquor license?
I don't believe so.
I don't do that. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Is there any public comment regarding this off-sale liquor license for the Sugarloaf Motel? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I recommend the approval of the first reading of the off-sale liquor license for the Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market, 430 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Candace Pitts.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second to approve the off-sale liquor license for the Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Item 15 is to recess as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us item 16, which is discussion of possible action. Approve the agreement between Story County Fire Protection District and the Nevada Division of Forestry for continued participation in the Wildfire Protection Program, known as WFPP. Chief Nevin.
Good afternoon. For the record, Jeff Nevin, Fire Chief. This is the same contract that's been brought to you last 6 years. This is a renewal every 2 years. This is due. The current contract is due to expire June 30th of this year. And the new agreement will take us to June 30th, 2021. As you will notice, the prices for each year are in here, $39,762 per year for a total of $79,524. This is a great program that we've had in the past, basically an insurance policy assists us with covering the costs for anything that we, any wildland fires that we may have within the county. So any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions for Jeff?
No, sir.
Now, with the formation of the 474 Fire District, we've saved a lot of money by going this route, and this is simply an insurance policy we have with NDF. So it's a great plan. They help us out when we need them to. So any public comment on this item? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the renewal of the interlocal contract between the Story County Fire Protection District and the State of Nevada, Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, Nevada Division of Forestry, for the Wildland Fire Protection Program, and authorize the chairman to sign.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Fire Protection District Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next up is item 18.
Lance. Mr. Chairman, I have a pecuniary interest in the property that's the subject matter of this agenda item, so I'm going to recuse myself not to testify or vote. I'll join the audience.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. This is 2019-013 modification to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC Story County Development Agreement by amending the development agreement master site plan to de-annex and exclude therefrom the entirety of the parcel located at 475 Wild Horse Canyon Drive, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, APN 005-021-14. Ms. Canfield.
Yes, thank you. This is an application to de-annex a parcel that is previously been identified within the Tri-Center. This is on the edge of the property off Wild Horse Canyon Drive, and the applicant has requested that this no longer be part of the Tri-Center.
Okay.
As part of the packet that was sent out to you, we didn't have the Exhibit A, which was the legal description for the parcel. That's been passed out to you here, and there's also a copy of it in the back for anybody. There was a note on there that it would be handed out today.
All right. Very good. All right. It's good. We'll take public comment on this item. Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Can anyone de-annex out of the TRI zone? I mean,
the Tri-Center was developed with this development agreement, and so the Tri-Center, Story County, and the individual property owners are the group. So each one of those three has to sign off on this. So this would be the county signing off on this, the Tri-Center has agreed to sign off on this, and then the applicant would sign off on that. If they did that, then and meet those requirements.
Okay. So anybody within the TRI and in the TRI public-private agreement can request to de-annex. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's provided for in the development agreement.
Okay. So the next question would be, will there be a zoning change for this parcel, de-annexing from that area?
Yes, they have actually submitted an application that will be heard at a future meeting. They've requested that area, because it still remains I-2 right now, mm-hmm. They've requested that to be changed to forestry.
Okay. And so this is just a general question. So anybody in TRI, for example, blockchains, can make a request to unplug a portion of their property at TRI, to de-annex it, and request for that separate de-annexed property like this, a zoning change. Can that ever become residential? Any of it. Meaning, could this particular lot, this particular parcel going from I-2 requesting to go to forestry, could they just as easily have requested to go residential, and would that be allowed in our master plan?
When we would be evaluating the zone change, that's what we'd be looking at. Is it consistent with what the master plan is saying? If it's not consistent, everybody has the right to request a master plan amendment, and you would go through that process.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Additional public comment? I guess the only question I'd have for you, Kathy, is there any reason why the county wouldn't agree to the de-annexation of this item?
From a staff perspective, this is really on the fringe of the whole park, and for what their overall plan of what they're wanting to do and change it to forestry, I believe it makes sense from a staff perspective.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Jay, can I get a motion?
Yes. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, make a motion to approve the modification to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC Story County Development Agreement by amending the Development Agreement Master Site Plan to de-annex and exclude there from the entirety parcel of land located at 475 Wild Horse Canyon Drive, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, Assessor's Parcel Number 005-021-14, and as documented as Exhibit A on the attached Amendment to the Development Agreement document.
And I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Right, at this time, we welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board. Moving on to item number 19. This is discussion and possible action. A request filed 2019-005 to abandon a portion of unimproved E Street right-of-way located within Virginia City. The right-of-way abandonment is approximately 20 feet by 100 feet, a former portion of lots 2 and 3 of block 207 of Virginia City. The right-of-way abandonment is located adjacent to land owned by the applicant at 570 F Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and borders Assessor's Parcel Number APN001-122-05. Ms. Canfield.
Thank you. Hopefully the projector will come on here in a second. Again, this is a request to abandon a portion of lots 2 and 3 of block 207. These will return to the lots that they came from. It's actually a 20 by 100 foot section of land.
Is the property located on the south end of Virginia City near the truck ramp? This is the property itself, and then there's a little sliver of land here that's requested to be abandoned. A couple months ago, we had Mr. Boast requesting abandonment of some area, and so that was right down in here, so this is kind of close to that general vicinity. The yellow area is the land that the Sullivans own, who are making the request to applicants, and the actual orange here is what that request to be abandoned. At one point, this land, the orange land, was part of lots 2 and 3 of this whole subdivision. In 1991, there was a lot line adjustment that was completed that gave of the F Street right-of-way the map area, gave them this 20 feet, and then it, as an equal air exchange, they took 20 by 100 foot off this. That's not how we would process a lot line adjustment today, but it was recorded and signed off, so that it is how it is. So what they're requesting at this point is to retain this back, or for us to abandon this back. The E Street actually paper right of way that is here would remain. They're not touching any of that. That's 62 and a half feet wide. This right here, this dimension would be 80 and a half foot. I spoke with the utility companies, their public works department, the cable company. Nobody has anything in this site. Nobody requested a public utility easement be retained across it. And it doesn't look like it was acquired for any public purpose other than to make an equal air exchange for this. I wasn't looking like the county was really needing this for any particular purpose.
Well, was it the county that initiated the lot line adjustment in the past, or was it
former applicant? Records are kind of sketchy on trying to find what was going on. My assumption is there's a house that was built right in here, and either the house was getting too close to the property line or the house was maybe built over the property line, and this was how they were correcting that.
I got you.
The actual roadway follows again, is kind of coming down into here. And then when this was done, they also dedicated this E Street right-of-way. So when you see in here where this road is, this is actually that dedicated area. It's not really following the where it's mapped at. This is the E Street right-of-way back in here, this area. And so the area that would be abandoned follows a fence line. So it's in this area here. kind of looks from the photographs, it's this area inside the fence. This. And then this is from the other view from the south. It's kind of an optical illusion. Those lines really aren't over the over that area. We did have, through some of that, we had public inquiries. We had a few people that called, and just once they got a copy of the report, they were satisfied. They didn't have any further comments. We had an email that was in support of the project from an adjacent property owner. We received a letter at the Planning Commission that was in support of the project. So we didn't receive any opposition from this. And again, with the utility companies and that, nobody requested an easement or anything across here either, so they didn't have anything in it. Staff is recommending approval. We don't see that there was any real reason that the county needed that land for a public purpose, and that the Planning Commission recommended approval at their meeting. They had 4 in favor, then we had 1 person abstain, and then 2 were absent.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, from the looks of it, as I look at things, I don't think that the county would have any future use or need for that land.
Not for that piece. I mean, we're still right. Retaining the 62.5-foot sure. Right away that's right. Adjacent there for East Street.
Right. Chris, do you have any questions, Kathy?
Not at this time.
Okay, and we take public comment. Okay.
Mrs. Sullivan, the applicant, is also here. You had questions of her.
Are there findings of fact in reference to this?
Yes. Page.
Okay.
Start on page 9.
Right. Unless there's any objections, I'll have Kathy read findings of fact and for favorable motion.
Okay. This approval is to abandon a portion of unimproved East Street right-of-way located within Virginia City. The right-of-way abandonment is approximately 20 feet by 100 feet, a former portion of lots 2 and 3 of block 207 of Virginia City. The right-of-way abandonment is located adjacent to land owned by the applicant at 570 F Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and borders assessor's parcel number APN 001-12205. The abandonment complies with NRS 278.480 relating to abandonment of street or easement. The abandonment complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to vacation or abandonment of streets or easements, including NRS 278.240. The abandonment will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The abandonment will not cause the public to be materially injured by the proposed abandonment. The conditions of approval for the requested abandonment do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code, Chapter 17.12.090, General Provisions, Access and Rights of Way, or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, with that, we've got to go ahead and get a motion to approval based on the findings of fact.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings under Section 3.A of the staff report, and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, hereby motion to approve an abandonment of a portion of unimproved E Street right-of-way located within Virginia City. The right-of-way abandonment is approximately 20 feet by 100 feet, a former portion of lots 2 and 3 of block 207 of Virginia City. The right-of-way abandonment is located adjacent to land owned by the applicant at 570 F Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and borders assessor parcel number APN 001-122-05.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
We're going to second it to approve the abandon this portion of unapproved E Street. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Congratulations. More land back on the tax rolls of Story County. There we go. All right. Moving along now to item number 20, discussion of possible action For approval, business license, second readings. Mr. Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they are recommending approval of all items A through G as they appear on your agenda and in your packet.
Thank you. Is there a public comment regarding the business license second readings? Fair enough. I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the business licenses A through G.
A motion, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moving to second to approve all business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 21, public comment. Any public comment today? Nope. Hearing none, we're going to adjourn this meeting and all boards attached. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.